Courthouses are not for the faint of heart. A good friendship of 31 years, a man who is a great man of faith, who has served as assistant district attorney, assistant to the attorney general of the state of Georgia for many years, has told me that when you enter a courtroom, John, two things are certainly true, and perhaps a third. The plaintiff is lying. The defendant is lying. And sometimes, John, the judge is lying. He told me a couple times that cynical humor once in a while in small doses is always good when you're trying to bring the bad guys to justice. But what on earth is justice? How do we define it? What's it look like to you? Serves him right? Ha ha, what goes around comes around. She can pay now. Is that it? Awfully hard to define. When you go to jury duty, often you're sitting in the antechamber of the court, wondering if you'll have to go to trial and when can I get back to my work or my life. A judge will sometime come down who is not sitting and give you a homily, urging. That judge may say to you that you are the kind of person you would wish was on a jury if you ever needed justice. So please, you're doing your civic duty. Thank you so much. You're helping everyone. Then the judge might also warn you, if you have a petition, be sure you settle before the court, because you don't want to ever give your heartfelt desire into the hands of a jury. Because they are unpredictable, and you do not know their personality. Judges and lawyers will tell you that you win a case in picking the jury. The evidence is beside the point. Marissa Alexander had been attacked by her husband in Jacksonville, Florida, at least two times. He had served some jail time for abusing her. As his release was pending, she went and got a pistol, put it in the garage away from the children. The day before Thanksgiving, she was cooking her breakfast with her two small children when he came into the house. She said, and assaulted her. She went and got the gun, pointed it at him, and then shot in the ceiling. She was arrested for aggravated assault, and the jury gave her 20 years. 100,000 people picked up the television and turned it on October 3rd, 1996, to hear the verdict for or against O.J. Simpson and the wrongful death of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in Washington was in session hearing oral arguments, and the Chief Justice told the court clerk to interrupt the session when the jury in California was rendering its verdict. If the glove don't fit, you gotta acquit. And for a lot of people, justice is blind. Only on statues. I don't know what point Jesus was making about the woman, how he heard about her, whatever it was. We know the point he tries to make to us is that there will be only one justice for any of us, and it will come from God, the God who upholds, sustains, confirms, and exonerates. Amber Geiger, just been in the news. 5-year veteran of the Dallas Police Force, she's texting on her phone, going up the stairs to her apartment, enters the wrong apartment, goes through the unlocked door, sees a man, a citizen of Texas, sitting on his sofa eating ice cream. She pulls out her service revolver, thinking he is an intruder, and kills him. She went to pieces on the stand. Her whole life was ruined. not destroyed, but ruined. There was nothing to say about the victim. He was the kind of neighbor everyone would want. The prosecutors wanted 38 years. Her guilt was incontestable. 38 years, one for each year of this man's life. But she trusted her fate to the jury, who gave her 10 years. And she will be released in 5. God knows what will happen to her in prison. We can't say. But would that be justice? Fact of the matter is, no one wants to be held accountable and have their whole life evaluated by the worst moment of their life. Would you? I would not. So maybe, in order to have justice, you must have some mercy. You know, we used to have morning prayer here years ago, 41 years ago, I counted back. Those of us who are long of the tooth will remember we used to sing an anthem, Isaiah 12. Surely it is God who saves me, I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense, and God will be my savior. We don't sing it anymore with Eucharist. When you sing prayers, they enter your heart, and you never forget the words, and I have been able to bring them forth in dark times. I just never want to be in a courtroom again for as long as I live. Been there once, done that. Climbed the stairs to DeKalb County Superior Court in the antechambers of Judge Clarence Seeliger. Gathered with my family at one end of a long room, I can guarantee you anxiety, fear, nervousness. And then when the perpetrator's family comes into the same room, far away, about as wide as this whole edifice, the anger turns to a severe anger from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And when their attorney walks in and huddles with them as to the strategy, the anger turns to a rage. And you walk into the courtroom. I never tell lawyer jokes. You go into the courtroom hanging on your lawyer. Mary took the stand. The lawyer for the perpetrator asked her if the man had ever been in our house. Yes, he had. Did you punish him? Did you push him? Did you throw him out? Oh, God. Finally, the judge mercifully had enough. He put his hand on the microphone and said, I'm going to declare a 10-minute recess, called the two attorneys, and they went outside. I was called out with them. The perpetrator's attorney saw me and said, Mr. Porter, I don't have a case, but I have to defend him. I'm telling you, I don't want to cause you pain. I've had enough. I wish I could change what happened to Mrs. Porter. I wish I could wish you well. And as I said that to me, I saw the mercy in his eyes and the anger that had itself around my throat disappeared. I hope he gets the punishment he deserves, that lawyer said, but I hope it's something with which he can rebuild his life. And I was able to say, I don't know anything about this. Whatever the attorneys say is fine with me. And it was. It was. But can there be justice without mercy? Shakespeare didn't think so. That's why in the fourth act in the first scene of Merchant of Venice, he brings in Portia dressed in Balthazar, the lawyer's garments. And Portia does not say a word to the judge, to the jury, to the congregants. She speaks only to Shylock. She never says a word to Antonio. She just speaks to Shylock with the greatest soliloquy and perhaps the English language. The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesses him that gives and him that receives. 'Tis mightiest with the mightiest. Befits the throne monarch better than the crown. And know this, sir, it is an attribute of God when earthly power doth then seem like God's, when mercy seasons justice. And maybe the justice we're looking for all the time may escape us because we don't season it with mercy. Because God knows, if you want justice for yourself, mercy is what will deliver it. Isn't that true? Well, the horse had to be destroyed. That was the only verdict in the family. The horse's name was Eastern Express. It was a fun horse. It was a consummate athlete, equestrian. But they called him Bucket because when they put the food and water in front of him, he kicked the bucket and pranced forward and kicked it again. And the handlers had so much fun with him. When Christopher Reeve bought the horse, he called him Buck. And together they competed for 3 years. They were in the Olympic trials in Culpeper, Virginia. Buck was an expert. He had made 2 circuits without demerit, clean on every single obstacle. After lunch, they did the 3rd and last. And at the 5th obstacle, Buck suffered what equestrians call a refusal. Christopher Reeve was a ventilator-dependent quadriplegic for 8 more years of his life. The horse will be destroyed. But Dana Morancini, Chris Reeve's wife, said, no, it will be Chris's decision. Well, how can he decide? It will be his decision when it is his decision. Nothing happens to the horse until it. And Christopher Reeve rendered justice, propelling himself on his mobile chair, exhale forward, inhale back through a straw. He entered the stable, and they brought out the horse. And the horse came to him slowly and put his head on Christopher Reeve's chest and kept it there for 90 seconds. It is an attribute of God, and most earthly power doth most resemble like God when mercy seasons justice. So in the words of the prophet Micah, love justice, do mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Amen.